Are you searching for the best in online black radio? Then go to blacktalkradionetwork.com, helping you filter through the noise. Real talk, black talk.
The internet is full of half-truths and all-out lies. We've all seen them, and many people on social media complaining about it. Here's your chance to show and prove. WorldAfropedia.com is a black-owned and operated encyclopedia. There are several thousand articles, but we need help. We can't uncover all the truth ourselves. So please, join us and become a writer, editor, or blogger for WorldAfropedia.com today. Every little bit counts. We owe it to the future generations to put the truth out there. Visit WorldAfropedia.com, the African-centered encyclopedia, a global database of African knowledge for the purpose of bringing about global African wisdom and understanding. WorldAfropedia.com.
Hundreds of people were sleeping when the blaze took hold of Grenfell Tower, a 24-story building. Images showed flames engulfing the building overnight, and more than 12 hours later, it was still burning. As we recorded this podcast, six people are known to have died. Police said that number is likely to rise. More than 74 people are being treated in hospital, 20 are critical. Witnesses described screams of terror and people jumping from windows to escape the flames. Here's how events unfolded.
I woke up about 1:30 this morning to look across the road and see the big Grenfell Tower in a towering inferno, blaze, just fire coming out of every window, windows smashing and exploding, things falling out, people screaming, people jumping out on fire, chucking ropes down what they made out of bed sheets to try and climb out. Just complete nightmare, absolute nightmare.
The sound of the popping, the explosions, but also of the cladding coming off the building, ash falling down, but also just little children. I think I won't forget the harrowing sound of little girls crying out for help.
Residents said the fire took hold on the exterior of the building, which had been covered in cladding in a major refurbishment. Many said they couldn't hear alarms going off and hoses couldn't reach upper stories. 250 firefighters worked through the night to extinguish the flames and save those still trapped. No one knows how many were in the building. A community action group says it had raised numerous warnings in recent years about the very poor fire safety standards at Grenfell Tower. David Collins is from the local residents' association.
Concerns over locations of boilers, concerns about escape, fire escape lighting. And list goes on.
My colleague Dan Damon spoke to Jody Martin, a resident of a neighbouring building. Some listeners might find parts of his account distressing.
I saw a red glow coming from the other side of the building that's adjacent to mine. I ran over there. I saw the fire truck arriving. I ran around the building to look for a fire escape. Then I grabbed an axe from the truck and I got into the first floor via a bridge and got into the building. I got into the, gained access to the second floor, helped a couple of people out from the second floor. And then the smoke was too much, so I left the building. I was staying on the outside of it, screaming at people in the building just to leave, get out of the building, and no one was leaving.
Because they couldn't.
There's too much smoke. They were saying, we're trapped, we're stuck inside. And then the fire brigade came, people were jumping out the window, one person landed on a fire brigade officer. You could just see people dying in there, all on the upper floors. The fire brigade only got up to the 11th floor, and that was it.
And what was it? Where did the smoke come from? Could you tell what was burning to create that level of thick smoke?
I think it was the panels on the outside of the building, because they just went up and they were falling down all around me, because when I was on the outside of the building, I nearly got hit by one. I burnt my shin on the on the outside of the building. Just there's all this cladding on the outside of the building, and it's all was burning and falling off, and it was just encompassed the whole building.
And that's recently been installed to refurbish the building.
Yeah. The other thing I'd just like to point out, there was no fire alarm going on in the building.
Right, so you couldn't hear any bells ringing, because you'd expect, there would be a fire alarm clanging out. Mm. You didn't hear that.
Mm. One thing I wanted to say, though, this thing that they're all saying about, it might have been a fridge that exploded or something like that. I don't know about all of that, But what I do know is they did regeneration last year to that building that they're talking about doing to all of these buildings. They did it to that building only, £10 million they're talking about, and put these shoddy plastic things on there that set up a light because they want more reasons to knock these blocks down. There's two options. They could either regenerate the blocks or they could knock them down. And after that, I'm not so sure that was totally an accident. I'm not even going to lie. Like, I'm not even going to lie to you. You could pause me there, but I'm not going to lie. The whole situation that's going on in this area, the way that they don't want us here, and they put those rich man's blocks over there, and then they tell certain man in Frinstead they can't even go into that section, that's outrageous. I can't lie. The way that they treat man in here is terrible, innit? So I can't even take the belief out of my mind that wasn't just an accident. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm not going to lie. I think it's fucked. And I think...
But we don't know. We don't know.
But you're talking about the regeneration that happened last year to apparently make these blocks better. And then these fires have never happened. I've lived here my entire life. My mom's lived here a very long time. And these kind of things have never, ever happened in this area. Like, okay. I don't know what they spent £10 million on. But the lifts in this block and all the blocks around, they only cost £60,000 to fix, and they still never replaced them throughout the time I've lived here. So £10 million for that? No, they didn't. No. Okay. I'm not really fucking with the government right now. That's all I'm saying.
I'm going to apologise for your language.
It looks like you're watching something from a movie in a developing world.
It is unforgivable that after Lacanau, the lessons of Lacanau have clearly not been learned. It's been said. It's been reported that the tenants in that block were complaining about not doing enough.
Got seven different reports where them saying they fear an inferno is what it will take.
It has an unfamiliar, nasty ring to it. That's precisely what people were saying before Lacanau. And by the way, after Lacanau, it was very difficult to get accurate information from the authorities, even though it was quite obvious that the authorities had failed in their duty. Now, the London Fire Brigade have firefighters who are trained, highly trained, to try and put out fires in blocks like this. This is a complex building. They simply weren't able to do the job. How do we know that? The evidence is there. They couldn't get in. They couldn't get in, and they couldn't get up.
They couldn't get past the 14th floor, and they couldn't get in.
That means 13 floors unprotected. 13 floors of vulnerability. Remember what that vulnerability means? It means people. It means old people. It means children. It means families who can't get out of the building safely. How is it possible, Eddie? It is an absolute scandal. Capital letters, underlined and bolded.
Context of white supremacy. Gus T. Renegade in for another broadcast, hopefully to share constructive information on the system of white supremacy. Today's date, Sunday, June 18th, 2017. So I have been told this is our monthly global Sunday talk on racism. We once a month encourage folks, listeners from around the world, to dial in. I think it's very important, critical, that we understand racism, white supremacy is a global problem, global system. White supremacy is not just a little bit of a problem in a few parts of the South, down in Mississippi every now and then, and South Africa from time to time. The entire planet is dominated by the system of white supremacy. I think we can learn a lot. Just sharing information, communicating with other victims of racism in different parts of the world, seeing what whites are up to there, how the system is operating, and even what constructive counter-racist techniques have been effective in different parts of the world. This week in particular, I don't know how many folks in the States or elsewhere have been paying attention, but they had a massive fire in England this week. Grenfell Tower, it's kind of in the infamous Notting Hill area. People have paid attention and seen some of the flicks and what have you. This area gets mentioned quite a little bit. It's known as kind of a posh shopping area, kind of ritzy. But this area has been subjected to quite a bit of gentrification, as I understand it, where you used to have a much higher population of dark people, non-white people in this area. You still have a significant population of non-white people. And at this tower specifically, Grenfell Tower, that you had a substantial number of black people, non-white residents at this tower. Anyone, if you've been looking at the photos, this happened in midweek. Anyone who's been looking at the photos over the past 4 or 5 days or so, it's been a lot of dark people when they've been talking videos, talking to residents, people on the street who've been dealing with this, people who've not been able to find loved ones. Lots of black people. This should resonate for non-white people in different parts of the world for a lot of reasons. In fact, even before we get to some of our listeners, just everything about this situation where you have a residential situation, a fire, place where a lot of non-white people live, they do the exact same thing worldwide. In fact, when I first heard about this whole incident, I thought stateside. It reminded me of one of the books that we covered on this program, Family Property. This is a situation that happened in the great state of Chicago, where they're known for providing wonderful housing and accommodations for black people. So this is in the book Family Property. The author, Beryl Satter, she was a guest on the program in 2015. She writes, on January 20th, Luana Walker was awakened from a deep sleep by heat and smoke. She grabbed her baby daughter, Stephanie, and ran to the bedroom door, but her way was blocked by flames. She set Stephanie down in order to break a window. When she turned to pick her up, the baby had vanished in the thick black smoke. A neighbor outside cried, "Throw me the baby, throw me the baby," but I couldn't find Stephanie. She must have crawled away, a hysterical Walker told reporters. Walker survived with severe burns on her face. Stephanie and three adults in the building, Herman McNeil, his wife Virginia, and Virginia's brother Robert Gilliard, were consumed by the flames. An investigation revealed the full dimensions of the tragedy. The fire had broken out in a once elegant Southside mansion that had been converted into a rooming house. The building's third floor, a space originally designed as a bedroom, had been partitioned into 5 small apartments divided by a locked door into 2 main sections. This door blocked the McNeil-Gillard family's efforts to escape the flames via a rear stairway. No permit had been filed for converting the third floor into apartments. In fact, such a permit would surely have been denied, since the front part of the space had no fire exit. This is one more case where money has been put ahead of human lives, Chicago's coroner Walter E. McCarran commented. Then on January 23rd, another apartment house, this one located just blocks away, erupted into flames. The building had been constructed in 1884 as an 8-flat, but had been cut up into 27 apartments. 7 children were killed. 4 days later, yet another fire broke out in a nearby basement apartment. 2 children suffocated to death. And I will stop there because the whole book is rife with examples like that. But that to me, and he's talking about things that happened in the mid 20th century, sounds very similar to me to a lot of what you heard in those audio clips talking about the Grenfell Tower fire, where you just don't even have spring. It's 2017 and we have a big building with 24 some odd stories and we don't even have sprinkler systems, according to the report. Wow. We will get more detail since we have been fortunate to have a lot of listeners, black British listeners, for many years on the context of white supremacy. And I was looking forward. In fact, I was looking forward to hearing from them directly. And I had been communicating with some of them immediately. Lorraine and some of our other listeners were talking about this event as soon as it happened. They were posting on my Facebook page and I was trying to share material immediately. But so glad we could have a lot of folks here to discuss this event and put it in proper context. Joining us live, we should have with us Mary, who mailed in one of the clips that we played during the broadcast. Mary, are you with us?
I am, yes.
Outstanding. We should have June Allen with us. She's been here before, hosts her own podcast, has talked about racism, white supremacy with great clarity and particularly a focus on mental health. June Allen, you with us?
Yes, I'm here. Good evening, guys. Good evening, everyone.
Good evening, folks over in the UK. Glad to hear from you. Let's see. We also have with us, she was just here for workplace racism, but back again, Stacey in London. Are you with us?
Hi, guys.
Outstanding. Good to hear from you. Andrew, with us from the very beginning. I know we'd had tech issues earlier in the year, but we got him right at the beginning. Hopefully we'll have no troubles today. Andrew, good to have you back with us. You there, sir?
Yes, Gus. Hi, everyone.
Greetings. Good to hear from you, sir. And one of our investors has been great operating the YouTube channel and posting a lot of our content online, which has helped a lot of people access the cows who would not have been able to otherwise access it. Mr. Fox, you're with us, sir.
Greetings, Gus. Hello, everyone.
Grand. Good to hear from everyone. We'll get calls in from listeners as well. Folks have their hand up immediately. I think this event did get a lot of attention in the States as well. So I think some folks already did know about this. We will start. I think Mary did get me one of the clips that we heard. Piki Sekou, I think is his name, the young non-white male who said he was not effing with the government right now. And he's given some follow-up interviews just on repeating what he said about he thinks this is just a way to get rid of the black non-white residents at Grenfell Tower. Mary, did you have commentary you want to start us off with?
Yes. I just want to say that what you're reading and what you're seeing on the news is, quite frankly, a lie. As I saw another clip today where some young guys who said that they were from Morocco and who knew people who were observing Ramadan and who would go together to break their fast in the flats. They were saying that there were 42 bodies found in one flat by the fire service, and they know that to be a fact because one of their friends is a firefighter. So that's 42 bodies in one flat. And they said that because everyone had turned the taps on in the flats, none of the water was reaching the top floors, so the people on the top floors couldn't wrap their heads with water like you're recommended to. They couldn't do anything. There was no water going up there. So obviously, you know, they perished, and they're not going to be found, basically, because you're just dealing with burns at this point. So you're talking about people who live, who lived in Grenfell Tower, and also people who are visiting who are not accounted for. People obviously have not thought about, or they may have thought about, I shouldn't say that, people may not have realised that sometimes with these flats, because it's so hard financially in this country right now for a lot of people who work, jobs where you can't pay for the cost of living in London. They sublet rooms in their flats. So you could potentially be talking about people who are unaccounted for from other countries, who may not even have been here legally, or who may have been here legally, but they may not have let other people know where they are. They could have died as well. And then you're talking about the numbers that they're giving in the press about people who have perished. You're talking about 500 people who are missing. Where are those people? They're obviously in their dead. And there's been more than one report that basically, because there's so many bodies in there, firefighters are just walking over people's bodies, that they're sooner or later going to have to send in refrigerated trucks to remove the bodies conspicuously, because obviously it's more grave than we're even thinking about. Furthermore, to add to the government statistics about the numbers of deaths that occurred, they may not have counted the people who actually jumped from the tower before they were consumed by the flames. So you're talking about a lot of things going on, a lot of deception going on, a lot of issues to do with finances, especially because we know that people who are not financially, who wouldn't have been financially able to live in that area without subsidised housing. I lost my train of thought. You're talking about a lot of factors going on with this whole thing. I've lost my train of thought a bit. I'm sure I can add a bit more, but you're talking about lies upon lies. You're talking about the people who put the cladding on the building. Apparently, 8 million was spent, 2 million unaccounted for. You're talking about people being put, I think, knowingly into a death trap and just being told at the end of the day, well, sod all of you. We can kill you, because there's about 30,000 other buildings, they estimate, in the UK that have had the same type of cladding put on the front just to make it look good. no safety measures for any of the residents, and you've got two further tower blocks near to Grenfell where people have to look at that and know that they could be next. And I also want to say that nothing has been learned from Lakenhall House. Nothing has been learned from that fire. You're talking about a 20-month black baby that died in that fire because no, the government just doesn't care. So I'm sorry, I've carried on for a bit, but those are my initial thoughts.
Appreciate that as well. And just point of emphasis, we're talking about, as I said, massive stories, more than two dozen stories in this building, hundreds of residents and visitors and all of that. The initial death toll, right, from the middle of the week, they said 12. We have 12 fatalities in there. They kept emphasizing and saying, we know this number is going to rise much higher, but they said 12 for the longest. And it went to 30. Now, the last that I checked today, Sunday, June 18th, it was at 58, which to me still seems appallingly low when, I mean, this entire building got torched. This was not something where it was a fire that just got localized to one little corner or one floor. This is, I mean, you can look at the pictures on site. The entire building engulfed in flames. And what, we're about 5 days out there saying the number's at 58. And I also think it's important, I think you heard in the clips where numerous reports, they were saying that the enforcement officers were telling people to stay inside initially. I've heard multiple reports where people were saying, yeah, the police were telling us to just stay inside, stay in your residence and, you know, put a blanket over your head, wet it and put it over your head and what have you, as opposed to exit immediately, get as far away from this building as you possibly can. In fact, it stood out to me because I heard that said repeatedly. And I've never heard that in terms of fire safety anytime there, even if it's a small fire, like maybe a waistband, a rubbish bin caught on fire. It's, oh, man, maybe we all need to get out of here and then we can take care of this just in case this gets bad or gets out of control. Make sure we don't have loss of life. Make sure I get opening statements kind of from everybody to touch on just what they've seen this past week, reports and what have you. And then we'll go through with specific details. Let's see. June, Alan, you're with us. Did you have commentary, what you've seen from the week, either fatalities, this happening, number of non-white residents?
Yeah. Hi, everyone. Yeah, it's been a very sort of distressing week. Just watching everything unfold. And, you know, my thoughts on the whole situation is that I thought it was really interesting the way that the government has responded to this incident very differently to how the, you know, when the Manchester thing happened, you know, nobody was calling for saying about 1 minute silence for the dead people in Grenfell, you know, but when it was, you know, the Manchester thing, it was completely different. You know, the Prime Minister didn't really visit any of the victims and stuff of Grenfell. She came to see the police and it was everything was delayed. It was like, you know, she just didn't really seem to care. She didn't really seem to care. It just seemed to me like she was just responding to things because people had to say it and then she would turn up, you know, and start talking to people. But it just wasn't genuine. And that has actually added to a lot of people's anger because she came and spoke to some of the firefighters and people like that, but she didn't really come and speak to any of the people that were actually in hospital that were sick. And she only did that after you know, a certain period of time, which upset a lot of residents. And also the other thing that I'm hearing today as well is that, you know, the people that survived it, I heard some stuff today where they're saying that they're getting pressured now from Kensington and Chelsea Council that to be rehoused. They're trying to rehouse them out of the borough and basically saying, if you don't accept, you know, this being rehoused, you know, far away or whatever, wherever they're housing these people, then they're intentionally making themselves homeless. Which is just adding insult. It's just an absolute disgrace the way that this is all being dealt with. It's really painful. It's very painful because these people are just not getting any help at all. And it's actually the people in the community that are actually doing the work. It's not the council. It's not the government. I mean, she's pledged, Theresa May has pledged £5 million for these victims and whatnot. But, you know, I've also heard today that some of the people that have survived this thing, they're in hotels. They had to wait for 2 days They were two days in their own clothes before they got any money, before they got decent food, all this kind of stuff. You know, it's that they've been put up in hotels and stuff, but they had to wait for a long time before they were dealt with appropriately. So it's the community that's actually helping these people, not the council, and definitely not the government. And so, yeah, it's just another incident. And obviously hearing the stuff that you're reading about this book, you know, the similarities are really quite scary. And it's just another realisation that, you know, this system really does not care about us. It really does not care about us. And I'm still seeing a lot on my timeline that people are saying, you know, this is not about race, this is about class. You know, and it's so easy for people to say that in the UK because our numbers are so small and people don't want to have that conversation. But it is about race, you know, and it's really hard. And like you said, it's just pure non-white people on there, mainly black people. It's mainly black people on there that are upset and telling their stories. And even on when they're showing the pictures of the missing people, it's mainly black people on there. It's mainly black people on there, and a lot of people have been saying it, but yet nobody still wants to say it's about race. Oh no, it's about class, you know. So that is really frustrating. But you know, at the end of the day, it's just about understanding that is the way it is in the UK. That people are, you know, going to be adamant that it's about class and not race. But we understand that it's a global system, and obviously, again, from what you're reading from that book, the similarities are scary. And it's not an accident. It's not an accident. You know, it's not an accident that these similarities keep popping up around the world. And I'll just leave it there for now. But it's tough. You know, black people catching hellfire. Excuse the pun, but it's black people are just. It's painful seeing so many black people in pain in different parts of the world. You know, so that's where I am today.
Absolutely. I know Lorraine, she is not with us, but she's participated repeatedly, both in our Global Sunday Talk on Racism and in other CALS programs. But she's in England, and she was writing me throughout the week about the fire. And she said the same thing, that you can bring up class and say this is a class issue, that they don't care about poor people, but they're not being accurate in saying that this is about the system of white supremacy and we don't care about black people. You have a disproportionate number of non-white people in this building who died, suffered, lost their house, can't find their relatives, lost everything they own, really making that point. Even some of our previous guests, Akala, he was talking about this, but he did mention class. He did not mention race in the segment that I saw Mr. Akala guest on the program back in 2015. Stacy, you are with us as well. Stacy in England, did you have commentary that you wanted to share on the Grenfell Tower fire, which you've seen over the past few days?
Yeah. Hi again, Justin. Hello to everyone else on the call. I just wanted to I certainly don't have accurate numbers, but just to clarify some of the points that were made earlier. Apparently it's 27 story block, and the fire I believe started on the 8th floor. So you know, the firefighters certainly couldn't get the hose pipes up very high. So most of that building, as people can see, was engulfed in flames, and within 15 minutes. So that's just the speed at which people were overcome. And given that the blaze started in the early hours of the morning, I mean, you know, you just go figure in terms of the numbers and of people who were unlikely to have got out of that building. And the population is between... Of known residents would be between 500 and 600 people in that building, and that obviously doesn't include the guests, as been already spoken about earlier. They are being quite hazy in terms of the numbers that are being talked about by the police and in the media. I think we've, certainly in terms of the reports that I've read and heard, it's been said that there are 30 people who are known to have been killed. They're actually saying 56 people are unaccounted for, not necessarily dead, but unaccounted for. Or, I mean, you may have had a more recent update. I haven't been watching everything today. And so, you know, the difference in those figures is, you know, in the hundreds. The other thing, and I don't want to be too graphic, but the other thing to be clear about is that not everybody would have been burnt alive. We are midsummer in the UK. It's 30 degrees today. The fire happened in the early hours of Tuesday morning. So, I mean, you know, God knows what the families of those people are going through. But that, you know, I mean, it's just horrendous because there are bodies still in that building. In terms of the works, it's not just that the outside of the building was clearly not fireproof. The works were done in such a shoddy way. There were gas pipes that were moved into the hallways, which means that people leaving and trying to escape were encountered by flames, leaving, trying to get out of the flats that they live. And there were complaints made by those residents over and over again. And those gas pipes were not made fireproof, so they were just exposed. So any building is due to go under inspection. So who would have inspected that building and said that it was safe? You know, there are lots of people who've got things to answer for, basically. And there is quite a slick job being done in the media in terms of trying to lay blame with those tenants. In the UK, we have some properties which are owned by housing associations. They would be overseen, and ultimately, they do rest with the local authority, but they have an arm's length management arrangement. And they do have residents that will be on the board of those arm's length management organisations, but so will councillors, developers, and other local authority officials. And there is a complete power imbalance. But the messaging given out is that, oh, well, the residents didn't vote for sprinkler systems. Well, I doubt that they would be given enough information to be making those kind of judgments. And I, having lived in properties, not high rise, where it gets managed by arm's length management companies and developers, in they do make all kinds of assumptions about residents. I've also worked on regeneration schemes and seen what sometimes goes on behind the scenes in terms of the relationships between developers and council officials and others. You know, it's just a total power imbalance, and it's false to say that those residents can be held accountable or be left to make those kind of decisions, nor should they be left to make those kind of decisions. But it's a slick job being done at the moment in terms of saying, well, you know, the residents didn't vote for X and vote for Y. So they're blaming the victims, basically, even though clearly they were complaining for years. Gus, I'll halt there because I'm sure other people have comments to make.
Nab the rest of our folks and listeners who have questions. I think retired firefighters with us. I'm sure he'll have some interesting insight on this as well with his expertise. The Voice Online, this is a publication that's kind of geared to Black readers in Britain. They report from yesterday the official polygraph from the official figure from the London police is that they presume 58 fatalities related to the fire. And this is from yesterday evening, that the quote unquote official tally says 58 now from The Voice Online. Let's see. Andrew, you should be with us. Haven't heard from you yet. Did you initial thoughts on the fire? And in fact, I think you mentioned the 1981 New Cross fire when you were talking about this as well.
Yes. Hi there. You know what? This is a serious one. Because obviously you had the new, well, first of all, let me start. Well, before I forget, the New Cross fire, you know, 12 or 13 African Caribbean young people died in Deptford. The Queen did nothing, said nothing. the Iron Lady, Maggie Thatcher, the Milk Snatcher, said nothing, did nothing. There was a march at the time around Fleet Street, you know, where they used to make a lot of newspapers. All the racists in those newspapers leaned out the window. This is all, you can see this all on YouTube. All the racists leaned out the window, heckling the Africans that were on the march. So, you know, roll on to today, right? You know, looking at this, what happened in that area, right? You've got to remember, that's a council, or for brothers and sisters in America that don't know, it happened in the area of Notting Hill. Notting Hill used to be a very Caribbean area. Can you still hear me, Gus?
Crystal clear.
Yeah, yeah. And so Notting Hill used to be a very Caribbean area going back to the 1950s. Caribbeans, when we came over to this country, settled in Notting Hill, Brixton, Tottenham, and one or two other places in London, right? In Notting Hill, there were running battles on the streets with teddy boys and skinheads. We won. We beat them off the streets, literally. You know, my mum's generation beat them off the streets, and we celebrated, basically. We had a street carnival, right? That's where the Notting Hill Carnival comes from. So this block is bang in the center of carnival, right? So in so when the Notting Hill Carnival happens at the end of July, or sorry, at the end of August, right, that tower is going to be bang in the center of carnival, right? That's the thing to remember. Now, all around that area, you've got middle class white people, you know, lovely houses that are there. Those houses have always been there. A lot more of them used to be run down. And what happened? A lot of black people moved into those run down houses. Now, you go around there today, pretty much, unless your parents bought one of those houses, and some did, right? But a lot of died and sold since, right? Then really, it's a very white area, except for the council buildings. Now, when you hear us talk about council buildings, that's an equivalent to your projects, if you like. It's an equivalent to your projects. Now, a lot of those big towers, and I used to live in one, something similar to that in Battersea, which is now, Battersea itself has been gentrified as well, but those towers exist all around England, and particularly all around London anyway. Very few, if any, have got any real fire precautions. So, you know, the ones where me and my friends used to run around and mess about, right, none of those have got sprinkler systems, right? I was just talking to my mum. My mum says that some of them used to have hoses, like fire hoses. I'll take her word for it. But none have got sprinkler systems, right? So really, because sprinkler systems cost a lot of money to put in, right? And if you built one of these buildings in the 50s, in the 60s and 70s, right? The last thing the government would have done is put a sprinkler system in, because they cost money. And to retrofit a sprinkler system in now, that's not going to happen because it costs too much money. So that's why when they refurbed that place, right, what would have happened is that some private companies would have tendered for the work. The local council would have basically kept the leaseholders in the block informed as to who was successful with the bid. In other words, who gave the lowest bid, right? You understand that one, right? And that obviously did not involve fitting sprinkler systems, possibly because there was none there before, right? And so, you know, that's how it goes. To be honest, wherever you get riffraff living, chafe, poor people, people that ain't got no real say about anything, you're going to get the shoddiest, lowest stuff going on. It's as simple as that. And that is never, ever going to change. Not in this country. It's never going to change. What you're going to find in most council blocks and buildings, you're going to find black people, you're going to find immigrants, you're going to find different, you know, like asylum seekers and whatnot, some people renting, some people were leaseholders in that block, so some people did buy their flats, some people that had bought their flats are still living there, other people had moved on, were renting them out, right? Some people were subletting their flats, rooms and whatnot, and different bits and pieces like that. But the bottom line is, it's mainly non-white people living in all council blocks. It's that simple, right? So this was a, you know, it was an accident waiting to happen. And all over London, trust me, I used to live opposite one of them big tower blocks and used to live in the council estate. When they refurb these places, they just do the bare, you know, they effectively do the bare minimum. To the people that live there, it's better than it was before, but it's still the bare minimum, right? I'll get off soon, but I just want to add this. I was talking to I got my aunt Cludie over from Jamaica. She's with my mum. And she just told me that that four of my cousins were actually in that building where you had the Deptford fire. I didn't even know. But four of them were there, but they left before the fire actually took place. But it's just this whole thing. And to be honest, with Theresa May not going down there and being slow to come forward with any empathy and all this kind of thing, right? To be honest, she was only forced to do it. She was forced to do that. So the establishment, right, they only do anything when they are forced to do it. Not by black people, but by anyone but black people. You understand that one? So that's, it doesn't surprise me that back in the day in 81, when we had a fire in Deptford, right, the Queen did nothing, said nothing. Maggie Thatcher did nothing, said nothing. Because we were the ones championing our own cause. You understand? And no one's gonna listen to us in the establishment. It's only because there's a few white people in that block and there were some white people helping out, you know, collecting up this, that and the other and all the rest of it, and it was on the news and her numbers, you know, Theresa May's figures were going down and her popularity was going down. That's the only reason why she's just recently handed out £5,000. So everyone who owns a flat in that place is going to get £5,000. That's what's going to happen, you know. But none of it surprises me. It just doesn't. And it's going to happen again. And that's it. I don't know what else there is to say.
Context of white supremacy. For the 1981 New Cross Fire, can do a little showing off on the cows. Menelik Shabazz, black British filmmaker, he did the documentary film Blood, I Go Run. And it is all about the New Cross Fire, 1981, as well as the subsequent, what they call riots, clash between black Britons and the police that Andrew mentioned. He was on our program in 2012. We talked about that in great detail and even contrasted the events with 1981 with what happened in 2011 with the quote-unquote London riots. But as for Theresa May not coming down to visit, certainly she could not come down. I know they made a big to-do in the first kind of 48 hours about some cameramen being attacked, and I think there were multiple accusations that some of the residents were not pleased, that you had a lot of probably white camera people coming by to record the moment that they found out someone that they knew that lived in Grenfell had died, or someone just in grief, a normal human being dealing with a tragedy. And they were, oh, let's get a close up. Niggas crying. Oh, let's get it. And some of the residents were upset about this. And they, you know, yelled at some of the cameramen and I think might have pushed someone. So they had all these security concerns. So, of course, we can't have the prime minister down here with these, you know, disrespectful, yelling, rowdy yardies and, you know, niggers acting a fool over here. Mr. Fox with us as well. Did you have a commentary, which you've seen? It's been about 4 or 5 days with these events.
I just have to agree with what everyone else has put forward regarding this tragedy. Well, it's not surprising for the UK. This country is a very skinflint country and it doesn't like to spend money on anything regarding any precautions or safety. Well, when I actually first saw the tower burning and saw the devastation, it kind of reminded me from something you'll see in the 1970s, not 2017. But seeing the devastation, I just don't believe that you've got 58 people dead. And as I think June said, 42 dead bodies were in one flat. Now, from my understanding, I think it's coming to the end of the Islamic religious of Ramadan. Yeah, Ramadan. And you're going to have a lot of people of the Islamic faith, families getting together. So you're going to have a lot of people who are, as people have already stated, who don't live in them flats, coming to these flats and celebrating. So when these flats actually catch fire and the rapidness of it, you're going to have a whole lot of people in there, a lot who don't actually live in there as well. So I don't see the death's going to be in the hundreds. It's going to be hundreds of people dead in there. But as this country like to do, they kind of look for an excuse, look who to point the finger at, because all the political parties are doing that at the moment now. The Labour, the Conservatives, and other political groups are all pointing fingers at each other. But the death toll is going to be huge. It's absolutely huge. But there's no surprise whatsoever. No surprise whatsoever. It's just standard operating procedure. Sickening.
Context of white supremacy. Again, Lorraine, she had been writing about these events to me on Facebook immediately when everything happened. And I've been in correspondence with her. She sent audio clips, video clips, the whole nine. She wrote, she said, and she was talking about Akala. He's a victim of racism, non-white male. He does have a white parent. He was a guest on the program previously, but she said Akala was talking about the fire, but the file she was trying to send me of his commentary was too big. She said, it's on YouTube if people want to look. If you go to YouTube, put in Akala, A-K-A-L-A, Grenfell Tower fire. I'm sure it'll pop up if you want to see what he said. There's a lot of confusion amongst our people who say it's not about race, as white people were in the fire too. A friend of mine said she feels this was done so that they have a reason to go into the houses in the country to put cameras and listening devices in. Interesting. I know London specifically has lots of cameras, more so than I think any other spot on the globe, or certainly high on the list. That is an interesting point to now say we have a reason to go in to spend a few coins, pounds, to do a few upgrades and maybe include more cameras or surveillance material. What is the response since class, the confusion that this is about class, that white people died as well, not everybody here was black, not everybody here was non-white? What would your response be to someone who says, yeah, this is not a racial thing, you know, this is just, they don't care about poor people? What would your response be?
Sorry, can I go quite quick, guys? Right, listen, right, have you not noticed, right, that they haven't released this? One, they're slow to release the numbers. There's a reason for that. Because obviously what everyone's going to then start to do is count the black people, count the white people, count the and the Muslim people. That's what people are going to do, right? That's what people are going to do. That's what people are going to do, right? And so, you see, the idea is to talk about, the government would rather, well, I don't know, actually. I actually don't know, but I'm guessing that the government would rather have a conversation about class than have a conversation about colour, right? And so if you don't release the numbers, and if you don't release the ethnicities, even though I don't like the word ethnic because that means heathen, but if you don't release what colour people are, right, then you can avoid the conversation. And if you look at the TV, there's been a lot of stuff about the community pitching in, the community doing this and the community doing that, which is true, right? But then when you actually look at the pictures of who apparently the community is in that area, right, you can present a very muddled, mixed picture if you feel like it. And that's what's been done on the BBC, in my opinion. I was down there this evening after church. I went down there, I had a little walk around, and I saw some friends and all the rest of it. I took loads of photographs, right? Remember, you know, this is in the heart of the carnival area, right? So you've got loads and loads and loads and loads of black people out all over the streets, everywhere, right? Because those are the people that live in those areas, as well as Muslim people, right? You've got some white people there too, and you've got a lot of tourists, because it's a tourist area, right? But you've got loads of black people on the street down there right now. So in what I saw today, well, I know the area, but when you go there and you walk around, right, and then you look at the TV and you look at what's on the TV, you don't get a sense that there's a lot of black people in that area. That bit of Notting Hill is still, because of all the council flats, it's still a black area, right? But on the box, on the TV, you do not get that sense. Right. And in my opinion, that's why they're going to be very slow at releasing the numbers and releasing the pictures of the people that you know, that's not going to happen, because then you then got to have a conversation about color.
Other folks on the line want to respond. You know, people say, hey, this is not about racism, white supremacy. There were a lot of white people, a lot of people who were not black who died. This is not racism. This is poverty.
Can I just quickly make a statement?
This is Mary.
I would not be having that conversation with somebody who's non-black, because it's, to me, it's a waste of time and it's an act of confusion to derail you from what you know are the right thoughts. If it's somebody black, then I think you try and give them a blow-by-blow account of why it is the way it is, and Andrew made some very good points. But aside from that, I'm not prepared to have that conversation with non-white people because it's a time-wasting exercise. And that's one of the deceptive tools of white supremacy, is to waste your time and to take your mind from away from the truth. So that's what I've got to say.
Music to my ears. Other folks have a response, how you would respond to this?
Yeah, hi, it's June. Yeah, I was just going to say, took the words right out of my mouth. I don't have conversations like that with white people either, because it's not constructive. And, you know, I'm not going to waste my time trying to convince people about this stuff that they just don't understand and they don't want to understand. So, yeah, it's not constructive. So I don't have those conversations anymore. My thing is to, you know, to understand it from a white supremacy perspective. And, you know, if other non-white people, you know, want to have that conversation, then I will have, you know, I'll have that dialogue with them, just like Mary was saying. But, you know, I don't have that conversation with white people because it's not constructive at all.
Any of our other participants want to respond to that question?
I guess.
This is Stacey. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Yeah, to be honest with you, anyone who I've been speaking to about this, particularly non-white people, have not been confused. The early pictures that we were shown, I think, because earlier on in the week, I think it was something around six people that were saying were feared to have been killed or definitely missing. It was clear that those are all non-white, and either people who've been born in this country but from different countries or recent immigrants. So, you know, it's clear. And you see the people in the area who are, the pictures that are of people who are missing, as well as the family and friends. I mean, the numbers are clear. Even if there are some white people who live in the area, it's predominantly non-white. But what, interestingly, when you listen to a lot of the media coverage, the focus is on poverty. And there was also a discussion, I can't remember which program it was on, but it probably was the BBC, and they had talked about a report that had just recently been released, may have been by the Joseph Rowntree Foundation, which is one of the think tanks over here, talking about the impact of poverty. And I was just thinking it's very timely and coincidental, in inverted commas, all of a sudden this report is being released and getting discussed about the impact of poverty in the UK and the increasing disparity. But the issue here, whilst these people may be poor, it's clearly that these people did not count, because the majority of the people in that block and in that area are non-white. But I certainly haven't had conversations with any non-white people who are that confused. And the organisation that I work for, I won't mention it, but it's interesting that there's very little discussion about what went on, which in itself is an indicator to me that people understand what's going on here. I'll meet my langas.
Fascinating. Wow. Anybody else want to respond? I guess Mr. Fox, did you want to chime in?
I just repeat what June said. I wouldn't have any conversations with white people regarding if this was about race or class, because in this country, class likes to get brought up a lot. But this country created racism, white supremacy. Created it in the US, and look how the US has turned out. So over here, they like to disguise it as class, but it is racism, white supremacy.
They do.
Hello?
Yes, did we miss one caller? Yes?
Yeah, this is Frank.
Oh, greetings. Good to hear from you, sir.
Can you hear me, Gary?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so, I mean, I agree with everyone else who said that they wouldn't have this sort of conversation with a white person, but if I was to have this conversation with a non-white black person, I would just say to them, the way to kind of get over this rhetoric of or this discourse of is class and not race is to see who gets housed in the topmost floors of the buildings. Every council building in England, or at least in London, what you find is the darker you are, the higher up you get housed. Now you might think that that's a good thing, but these people, they know that these buildings are basically like accidents waiting to happen. And white people always look out for their own. Even if they disdain them for being poor, they don't disdain them as much as they disdain us and they hate us. So they house their poor lower and then they house the rest of us higher up. And the blacker you are, the higher up you get housed. And if you listen to all the testimonies of the survivors, the black survivors, they've been housed quite higher up, from 15th floor upwards. So I would just say to them, I'll just say to whoever it is I'm speaking with, like, that's evidence that it's not simply about class, it's about race, because it's quite glaring. But I was going to make two other points because I made two notes when I was listening earlier, and it was so in regards to the numbers of the folks who have died so far. I mean, people keep talking about like this, you know, this 60 something number of people that have been confirmed dead, but I mean the black people who lived there and other non-white people who lived there, they're saying like hundreds of people lived there and hundreds of people have been unaccounted for so far. And it's like, if by now those hundreds of people have not been seen or heard from, then it's kind of, it makes sense to just conclude that they basically perished in the fire. So I would say, like, when all of this is over, when we're doing like a kind of balance sheet of all that's happened, I think the numbers will probably come up to about 200. But I think at the moment the government and the media as well, they're trying to micromanage the numbers as a way to kind of like micromanage anger, black anger, to be honest. Because I know black people are always angry. We don't need a reason to be angry, but this would just be if they release the figures too quickly, then this could be a trigger for another riot. And we're literally coming up to the sixth year anniversary of the last riot that happened in London. So, and that sparks from something similar, something that routinely goes on, but then one event, the killing of Mark Duggan, kind of triggered it, and then, you know, things went off. And I was going to say, I don't know if anyone else has mentioned this. This is my last point. That so far, the only person that has gone to prison as a result of this fire is a black man. I don't know if people heard, but a black man, he'd taken pictures of a dead body that was in a body bag. Apparently, his version of events was that the body had been left unattended, and he was just taking pictures to say, look, why is no one looking after the bodies? Why is no one taking greater care at trying to, you know, take this to the coroners and whatnot? And so he's been arrested, and he's been taken to court, and the judge has sentenced him, I think, three months in prison?
So, yeah, 3 months.
Yeah, so the speed with which they've taken this man to court, They've done all the investigation, you know, everything really quick. The efficiency But that same kind of efficiency, you will struggle to find it when it comes to getting to the bottom of how this fire happened, why it happened, and who is going to pay for it. You know, the kind of efficiency that was used to bring the black man to justice, to so-called justice, is not going to be replicated in there. And I think, like someone mentioned earlier, that you have a lot of white people coming to help. A lot of these white people, you know, they're feigning anger. They're feigning like, you know, something needs to be done. I think that this black man has been sent to jail is a kind of like sacrificial kind of lamb for these people to kind of take and be pacified by. You know, at least someone's gone to jail for doing something bad in relation to the fire, and it just so happens to be a black man, happens to be a black person. So, that's all I have to say, and I'll just mute my line.
Goss?
Yes, ma'am.
Sorry, I just wanted to add something in that I saw today in the Sun newspaper. They're making the face of the cause of the fire black also, because there's the Sun have published online that it was the fourth floor, a fridge on the fourth floor that started the fire, and that the resident was a black man, and that when the fire started, he packed his bags and skedaddled out of there and left everyone else to burn.
Wow. Wow. I guess the 1-800 blame a nigger works even in the UK. Wow. They got international service. We can still blame it on a black person who absconded. Lazy nigger burned down the whole place and ran out and left everyone to die. That is.
That makes sense. That don't even make sense when you think about it. Your house catches fire, all your possessions in, and you just leave and don't even notify any authorities. It's just absolutely tacky. It's absolutely outrageous. So they've locked up one black guy for 3 months. They forced him to give up his all of his passwords to all of his social medias. His face is plastered all over the place. So we got him there. They're calling him a ghoul, of all things. He's plastered off his face all over the web. And then the putting the blame now on a black person whose fridge catches fire.
Ugh. And they've published his photograph as well. Yeah, clear face shot. So obviously people are going to have him on their mind, and there's going to be probably vigilante justice with that. With what proof? I don't know.
The thing they're doing with that now they're saying, right, you can't say it's racial now because one of your own caused this. This is what they're going to do.
Well, there you go.
That's really important. I haven't seen the actual report, but I have looked at enough reports with this incident from a lot of different news sources, and it's been very rare for them to identify someone's racial classification, like to say that, you know, a white person or a white firefighter or a white resident or a black person. It's been like very rare to hear someone's racial classification explicitly identified. So if they identified the person who started this fire, like to point out that this was a black person who started this fire, I would say that is especially significant. And that's the type of thing that I mean, where racists, they can deliberately focus your attention on things when they want to. They can deliberately leave out that, oh yeah, a lot of black people lived here. They can deliberately leave that out and just say that it's poor people that lived here. They can deliberately, when they want to, say explicitly, a black person started this fire. It was a nigger's fault. So it's definitely not about racism. If it is, it's these no good niggers that we might need to kick out of the country. Very, very, in my view, that is very shrewd, very sophisticated, and just not paying attention to when they choose to emphasize racial classifications. Never emphasize when it's a white person doing something evil. They don't emphasize Jimmy Savile is white. Yes, ma'am.
Sorry, but I want the guys in the U.S. to be under no illusion that they have absolutely no problem with plastering pictures of us in the news. You automatically know the ethnicity of an assailant when there's no picture. It means it's a white person. When it's a black person, even if you're under suspicion and nothing's been proven, there's no benefit of doubt. Your picture is just out there straight away.
Yeah, that's what they do. I remember when Dylan Roof went on his racist jihad, and on the Metro newspaper, they had a small little print of him on the front, but then the biggest picture, facial picture, was I think it was on page 6 of a black guy who escaped from prison. And he was not in prison for murder. I think he was in a prison for GBH, but he escaped from prison. But his face was plastered all over the Metro newspaper, a huge picture of him. It dwarfed the guy in America who killed 9 innocent people in the church. So over here, they're just more refined and could be just as tacky at times, but it's just as bad.
We have some folks who called in. I want to get some of their questions as well. Like I said, I think retired firefighters with us. He might have interesting insight on this, given his expertise. The number, if you have a question, comment on all this, 641-715-3640. The code 564-943-pound. Press *6 if you would like to participate. Just to read this report, really, I'm not going to read the whole thing, just a brief bit from, this is from The Voice Online. They write about the fire, and this report is titled, "Police with Riot Shields Blocked Residents In." And this is from the day of the fire. But they write, "During the night, frustrated locals attempted to break through the police cordon as the disaster unfolded, causing police officers to close ranks with riot shields. According to locals, residents trapped in the building were advised by the authorities to remain inside their flats, justifying their demand with claims that they had the fire under control, which they obviously did not. The block, which housed hundreds of residents over 24 stories, had undergone renovation only 13 months ago at a cost of £10 million. In spite of this investment for years, a community body, the Grenfell Action Group, had been warning one of the richest London boroughs that only a catastrophic event would reveal concerns of residents. In the early hours of this morning, the catastrophic event unfolded as a fire developed on one side of the building." I'll stop there. And also, just to emphasize the point that Frank made, I think this story, and I mean, it has gotten attention, but I think this story would have gotten a lot more attention if this had been like a predominantly white residential building. I think it would have gotten a lot more like international attention, front page New York Times type thing. And the number of deaths, if they were not saying 12 people died for the first 2-3 days, if it from day one was, "We think 500 people died in this time," I think then it would be getting a lot more like international attention, like the gravity of this. I think they have done a really good job of kind of keeping that down by just saying, "Oh, it's 12. It's 30. We think it's going to be more, but death toll at 12. Just keeping it down at that really low number. I mean, hey, a white person at Starbucks gets mad about a coffee being spilt on him and kills 12 people every other day. That's no big deal. 500 people dying in a fire of this magnitude. Very different story. I could be in error. Let's see. Some of the folks who dialed in, if you all have questions. Let's see. Is this Thomas in New York? Did you have a question you wanted to get in? Thomas in New York? Maybe he's not in an area where he can speak right.
Can you hear me?
Oh, yes, sir.
How you doing? I had a headphones on without the mouthpiece. I didn't realize it. Good evening to all. Good afternoon, Gus. Good afternoon. I heard you say the firefighters there, and to all the people in the London area. Gus, do you mind coming back to me in 2 minutes? Let me find my headphones with my mouthpiece.
Yes, sir. We can do that.
Thank you, sir.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Retired firefighter, did you have a question for any of our listeners over in the UK area? Might need a moment to get.
Can I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Greetings to everyone. Greetings to the non-white people over in the place that is called the UK. I took some notes while the session has already started. And number one, when I first saw the subject that everybody was talking about, it reminded me of showing documentation to the events that took place over in that part of the world called the Blitz. That's what that building looked fully in, being fully involved. Number two, when you have control over conditions involving people under the global system of racism, white supremacy, they're going and they're not going to be up to date. They're not going to be poor at best. You can easily cause calamity with those groups of people. We've seen it in Haiti, New Orleans, the United Kingdom. Is all over the world where non-white people at. Each of us can pick a different place around the world where something similar, it may not be a fire, but it is something that can occur to harm large numbers of non-white people in a very short period of time due to poverty, poor housing, poison water and food, that sort of thing. And this is what we, I think, witnessed in London a few days ago. The death count should be higher because of the poor cold conditions and the time of the call when the call came out, which was, I believe, I've heard some of the callers stating between 2 and 3 a.m. Normally things are quiet in and around that time and people are at sleep. And it's not so much of the fire that kills you. It's the carbon monoxide from the smoke that gets you before the fire ends up consuming your body. And from what I've heard, if there's not an alarm system or an adequate one, you're not going to wake up. As simple as that, you're not going to wake up. Number five, fire trucks, the tallest ladders, and it's almost universal wherever you go in the world. And I used to drive one. The tallest ladders are only about 100 feet. And I'm pretty sure that building was much more taller than 100 feet in height. I saw it myself, and it was fully involved. And even so, the way that fires are actually attacked is by what's called a standpipe system. Just imagine a series of piping that goes from the ground floor all the way up to the top of the building, and on each floor. What you would see is an indentation into the wall and a small little fire hose coming out of that indentation in the wall. What the fire service does is they have their own hoses. The firefighters have their own hoses, and they go up to that particular floor, a floor below that particular fire floor, extend their ladders from that below floor up to the fire floor. And the fire truck or fire trucks would, with their powerful pumps on their truck, would pump water up to that level. And it's a lot of math equations that goes involved in order to make that successful. Let me tell you something. So first of all, nobody is going to, you're not going to even be able to go inside that building because of the radiated heat. I saw the building. It was fully involved. The radiated heat was so powerful that you would not be able to go into that building, let alone talking about going up on any floors. I don't care if you're going through the stairwell or whatever. You're not going to make it. So those people were doomed, apparently when I saw it on the film. And based on what the stories I was hearing of people throwing their children out of the windows, and then some people jumping themselves, that describes to you a horrific situation to where people were so desperate they rather die by jumping out of a building as opposed to being burned to death. It's simple as that. The same thing happened with 9/11. The exact same thing happened with 9/11 as far as that concerned. And so all in all, it's a horrific and I would say terroristic tragedy that travesty that takes place very shrewdly, to where as white people are pretty confident that they're not going to be charged with acts of racism by this, because the whole idea is, okay, well, just a fire. You know, we didn't have anything to do with it as far as they're concerned. And those are some of my observations. Last but not least, that's basically it for right now. I have had experiences with high-rise buildings, buildings of all different types, and been in fires myself. I still have wounds on my body from just getting burned from radiated heat, let alone talking about being inside of a building where a fire was going on. But if the smoke, you can't, if you want to have an experience of being into a real fire, put your hands over your face, over your eyes, then have someone else to put their hands over your hands, and turn up the music. Turn up some music where you're at in a room where you can barely hear the person next to you. That's what it's like to be in a real fire. Your stove only gets to about 500 degrees. But the fire, the average fire, it gets over 1,000 degrees as far as that concerns. It's a very horrific experience to be even close to, let alone to being into. And that's all I have to say right now. Thank you.
Just before you leave, I just wanted to ask, and maybe they have different fire codes. I'm sure they have different fire codes, depending on where you go. I'm sure the fire code in Brazil is different from the fire code in Australia, is different from the fire code in the Congo. So, but just your experience, under what conditions would it be best if a fire breaks out in some sort of high rise, under what situation would it make logical sense to say, hey, stay inside? We know it's a fire, but the best course of action is for you all to stay inside. Under what situation would that be the best route to take?
The only logic that I can make out of that, because I heard you mention it before, the only logic I can make out of that is, hey, based on what they're saying, without telling the people, hey, we can't make it up there. we ain't going. We can't make it up there, or we ain't coming up there at all. So the best thing for you, to your best chances, is to stay inside and stay inside the confines of that particular apartment, of that particular. Hold on for a second. Hold on for a second, Gus.
Racist man could be at the door.
Somebody came to the door. It's actually my offspring. That we're not coming up there. And with the hopes of for that person is to try to wait it out. Maybe the fire would somehow bypass. You know, it's actually at best is a very incorrect procedure to inform somebody of. Basically, they're saying they're not going to be able. They're not going to come up there either because they don't want to or they can't. And the way I look at it, it appeared to be some sort of accelerant. Anytime a building that's tall, that big, that is that much involved, something had to accelerate that to because buildings normally don't spread that fast and have that huge of a situation. Look at even with 9/11, it didn't start out exactly that way, as far as they're concerned. But fire is so powerful that it melts steel, it melts concrete, and the building itself. I wouldn't want to be on duty that day when you have to go and be searching around up there on those different floors, because the whole thing may collapse at any moment. The whole thing may collapse at any moment, as far as they're concerned. But hopefully I answered your question, is that by someone telling people that is because either they're unwilling and unable to come up to that level to attempt to rescue those people. That would be my answer.
Reminds me of... Just, I guess that would be something to keep in mind for any future disaster situations, non-white people that we might be involved in. that you certainly are going to have to follow logic, because in those situations, racism, white supremacy will still be in effect. And the advice or recommendations given to you might not be in your best interest. Think of Hurricane Katrina with that as well. Double check Thomas in New York. See
one, one more thing, Gus.
See, they did it again.
Excuse me.
Yes, sir.
I'm sorry. As far as I know, some people don't have a choice of where they stay at, but I would never recommend to anybody to stay in a high rise building at all. I don't care if it's up to code or not. It's just the nature of something that tall. And it's too confining to me, as far as, you know, I mean, you're on the 100th floor and the fire takes place. You're not going to be trying to go on the elevator. And there's a lot of stairs to get that you have to go through and to get down. I'm not going to do it as far as that concern, let alone talking about one that's not up to code, one that's not up to code and the conditions from the way that I think it was over there, that disaster. That's all I have to say for sure. Thank you.
Right on. Thomas in New York, did you get sufficient time to get your headpiece together?
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Excellent. Thank you, Gus, and thanks for the firefighter. I watched the fire, and it kind of brought me back to 9/11 as well. And I kind of felt like something was used to spread it across that, you know, that much area so fast. So rapidly, because in 9/11, what spread the fire so fast was the burning fuel from the airplanes, and that spread fast, and it spread just like that. I was waiting for the collapse actually to come afterwards. First, the question I was asked earlier was, you know, and I'm paraphrasing, but anytime I hear white, the poor whites get affected too, or it's poverty, not racism. You know, I like to pull out the stats. But first, I like to point out that the white people that are poor enough to live amongst black people or non-white people that closely are failures. Therefore, they're commodities that's not worth even saving to the regular white people. Because for white families in 2014, this is the stats I use, had an average wealth of $142,000 in savings, debts, and assets, and the black families have a debt, have the wealth of $11,000. So $142,000 versus $11,000, I don't want to hear about poor white people. In my opinion, there is no poor white people. People that are poor and white, they're failures. As far as the fire code, now here in New York, I know that if you have a building that length, even if it's old, it had to be retrofitted with sprinkler systems, or it has to have a fire escape on the outside, and being that doesn't look as appealing to people, they all kind of forced landlords to install sprinkler systems in buildings, which of course affected black landlords when they implemented that code, because they couldn't afford the sprinkler systems nor get a loan to put them in, and they ended up losing their buildings. And of course the white people bought them. So, you know, just in my area, that was a pretty large building. I think it had 24 floors or so. And when I look around where I live, you know, I got these are public housing. So this is, you know, poor people, very poor people. You got the pole grounds. There's four buildings with 30-plus floors. You know, you got Drew Hamilton Projects, which is four double buildings. So that's really eight buildings, because they're like an L shape. But they're 27 floors each. And, you know, you got the Esplanade Gardens across the street from me, which are co-ops. There's six buildings with 26 floors each. And, a fire like that, I just couldn't imagine happening based off of the sprinklers, which they have to come and regularly check going off. I don't see the fire spreading that way. And also they build the buildings here with like some type of way where it won't get into a certain staircase or in the hallway. It's a certain way that they have a code. And I just can't imagine London not having that same code or similar code in buildings that large, because they kind of, U.S. and London kind of, you know, are close with the things they do. So in my opinion, this was them not keeping up with the code. This was their fault. Now, the last point I wanted to say, as far as everything, is I was so disturbed yesterday, or the day before yesterday, because they had something for the Queen, and they had a parade, and they had a picture of her riding a horse. And I said, man, this chick is riding, I thought she was about to die, and now she's riding a horse at 90-something years old. And, I mean, there's no way that she has her same internal organs inside of her. I'm telling you, she got all types of black people organs in her, keeping her alive. But she did kind of, from what I understand, she kind of fitted it in with the terrorist attacks, or like acknowledging the fire. And I just thought it was all for show. And I'll mute my line. Thank you, Gus.
Context of white supremacy, lots of racial theater. I think they even said Theresa May, after she did not go out and have any contact directly with the Grenfell victims at first, then she went to the hospital and shook hands with a few people, with security, of course. The folks, our listeners that are with us from the UK, make sure we get everybody. So we have Mary, Andrew, Mr. Fox, June Allen, Stacy, and Frank, all with us. Did folks have other comments that they wanted to make sure they got in about the Grenfell Tower fire? I was going to ask quickly as well about the election that just went down also, but this is such a huge event, and even reminding me with that 1981 New Cross fire, even after all this time, there are still people who have major suspicions about what started that fire that killed 13 black people, and whether that was an act of racist arson, whether that was a terrorist attack, act of murder, really, since 13 fatalities were the result. And the same with this fire, what was the cause? Now, I mean, they got the report saying, hey, it was this, you know, Negro tenant who burned the place down and absconded. But that is definitely something that should be thought about. Once they do the investigation and people do some thinking about all this, what was the cause? What started it? As was suggested, do we think there was an accelerant, or even with the cladding? Because I know people talked about that as well, that might have, if that caught fire, did that help make it spread so quickly? But our folks in the UK, any other folks have additional comments they wanted to add?
Very quickly, going back to the reel that you played at the beginning, you have to remember that land in London is in very short supply. That is prime real estate. And it encapsulates the way that a BBC reporter reported on the fire, saying that basically all those bodies on that prime real estate, that sums it up. You're too poor. You have too much melanin. This is prime land. We want to carve it up. So you might have to burn. And as the guy said at the beginning of the program, it's now justification to take down the other blocks and displace people out of the area. So that whole thing, they're never going to build anything as tall as that again. They're going to build smaller plots, and it's going to be sold to the people in the area who are rich. And it's as simple as that. Your life means nothing when it comes to financial gain.
Absolutely. Other folks have commentary they wanted to add about the Grenfell Tower fire?
Oh, yeah, it's June. Yeah, I just wanted to make the comment to just to remind people that, you know, self-care is really, really important. I mean, obviously, you know, we're seeing a lot of black pain all over social media, all over the news, and obviously with the stuff that's been going on in the States as well, with the Philando Castro thing as well, is painful. So just wanted to remind people to take care of yourself, take breaks from the news. You know, if you need to, Try and get sleep. If you're not sleeping well, just try and get rest, and just take care of your loved ones. Take care of each other. So, you know, yeah, I just wanted to say that, because it's easy for us to get caught up in these conversations and then not do this self-care to kind of counteract, because this is all trauma. This is all trauma, and it is important for us to remember that. We're seeing this all the time, day in, day out. We're seeing all of this trauma, black trauma everywhere. And it's important that, you know, that we do take care of ourselves so that we can make constructive decisions to fight white supremacy. So, yeah, that's just my final thought. Thanks.
Gus, can I add something?
This is Andrew. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I was just thinking as everybody was talking, because I know that in London there's a lot of people that want to donate something or do something and this kind of thing, which is, you know, which is okay. I do not know at this point in time of any African or black organisations that are taking donations. So I, at this moment in time, I can't say to our African American brothers and sisters where, if they do want to donate anything, where to donate it to ensure it actually gets to African people that suffered, black people that suffered. If I do find out anything, then I will definitely email that. Maybe somebody else on the show knows that. I suppose that's all I want to add to this, but it's a terrible, terrible event, and it is mainly non-white people that suffered in this. And it was great to see a lot of black people, African people out on the streets today in that area, you know. I mean, that was good.
Got a lot of good quality images that Andrew mailed us from going and just being at Ground Zero and showing the victims and some of the things that are happening, memorials that are being set up, that sort of thing. A lot of good quality images that he shared online via email. Thank you. Anybody else, anything on Grenfell Tower? I'm sure we'll be talking about this as it continues to unfold. Anything else on Grenfell Tower?
Hi, Gus.
Yes, ma'am. Stacey.
Just to say, I haven't had a chance to read it. It was something my daughter sent me, but it's an article by a politician in the UK who lost his seat in the last election. So it's kind of segue into the next discussion. But he wrote an article in September 2016, which is all around how the Conservative government refused to build social housing because it would create Labour voters. And he was part of the coalition government with the Conservatives between 2010 and 2015. So I will circulate that link because I do think it links into some of the motivation behind not repairing housing effectively. And just, I guess, echoing some of the concerns that people in the Grenfell Tower area have been voicing. And certainly this person would be in the know, given that he was part of the coalition government. I'll stop there, Gus.
Right in line with our transition. And I think it was you on workplace racism, right when the election happened about 10 days ago or so. You were on the program, and I think you had just cast your ballot for Jeremy Corbyn and had a few coarse words to offer about PM Theresa May and why you would not support her. And I guess that was a harbinger of how her weekend was going to turn out. I guess a lot of people shared your sentiments that she was very disappointed in the election results. Did other folks who are with us have commentary on the election that happened 10 days previously, and even a little bit of that carried over into some of the commentary about Grenfell, people continuing to get their frustrations out with Prime Minister Theresa May? But did folks have commentary on what happened with the election?
Yeah, can I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Hello? Only just to say that I thought Corbyn was going to do better than what people expected. I didn't know he was going to do this well, because I knew that he appealed to a lot of young people. That's all, you know, he's appeal. I mean, my nephew is 21. He's just finishing university now. He's in Exeter, down in down in Devon, down there, or is it Cornwall? Dorset. And you know, I knew through him and through other sources as well, through some of the older young people at my school, that you know, that Corbyn really basically, you know, a lot of young people are because they're so knocked off, cheesed off with having to pay to go to university, you know, and those bills to go to university are, it's a lot of money. You know, you're talking 20, 30, 40, 50,000 pounds, depending on your course. So if you come out of university with a 20, 30, 40, 50 pound, 50,000 pound debt, right, bearing in mind that England is all about buying your house, buying your flat or your apartment or whatever, right? When are you going to be able to buy a place to live? That's never going to happen. You're going to have this debt. Any bank is going to take that into account, right? So yeah, no, but partly because of that and partly for other reasons, young people, you know, were all about Corbyn, you know, and obviously Theresa May shot herself in the foot when she decided it was a good idea to tell white middle class people that she's going to take some of their money, you know, out of their house to look after them in their old age when they get sick. You know, that was a bad move on her part. You know, so everyone who was over a certain age, approaching retirement age, they weren't happy about it. So she did, you know, so she's a silly woman, really. I mean, you know, she didn't really think about it. She really didn't think, and she was not very good at public speaking. Whereas Jeremy Corbyn had nothing to lose, knew he had the young people on his side. And he's very, you know, he's always gone out and spoken to people anyway. So I think people really underestimated the guy. Personally, right, at the end of the day, all of them are white, in my opinion. And you've had Labour governments in before. And you see, black Caribbean people in England have always voted Labour historically, right? System was good for black people, and it was, because we're poorer, generally speaking. But you know, Labour have never really been, when you actually look at their policies and look what happened under Labour governments, right, we've not really benefited a whole lot from them, you know. So you see, the problem with black people in the UK is that we don't have a black agenda. You know, we don't specifically go to white politicians with an agenda saying, if you do this, we will vote for you, and if you don't, we're going to get you out of power. You know, we don't do that. We don't do that. And that's where we fall down as non-white people, as black people.
Appreciate that, Andrew. Any of our other listeners have commentary, thoughts from what they've seen since the last 10 days, since the election?
Basically, Theresa May, to me, has signed her own walking papers, and not a moment too soon. To me, she's the second incarnation of Margaret Thatcher, and this whole incident has just highlighted just the lengths of how cruel and evil she is.
I guess for folks listening, Theresa May, the Prime Minister, she hasn't even been in office very long. I think she's been there about a year. It was about this time last year that she got the Prime Minister's seat after the whole Brexit issue. And they were going to move forward with that. She was supposed to be put in office to help move that forward. And now a year in, it doesn't look too good for good old Theresa May. Other folks have commentary or any thoughts as to what this means in terms of how racism, white supremacy will continue to operate in the UK?
Hi,
it's June. Oh, sorry, you go.
Yeah, I'll be quick. Certainly for her, she clearly hasn't got long, and I think the only reason that the Conservatives are not going to go with another election or leadership challenge is simply because they will lose at the moment. And it certainly will destabilise the UK's position in terms of negotiating on Brexit. Like has been said before, you know, it's not voting for Conservatives does not mean anybody's under any illusions about the Labour Party. But what it, you know, concerned me more than anything else was that she was planning to tinker around with the Human Rights Act, and God knows what that would have indicated for non-white people in the UK. So it's, you know, irrespective of people's views on Brexit and all of those issues, I do think that this has played out in our favour, because I do think it will halt some of the more extreme policies that would have been implemented had Conservatives got the majority. But certainly she hasn't got long to go. And even though she's only been Prime Minister for a year, she was Home Office Minister, and certainly, you know, linking this to Grenfell, she has a terrible reputation and record when it comes to immigration and non-white people, which is probably a lot of the reason why she didn't go anywhere near those darkies that lived in the Grenfell Tower. I'll meet my line.
That's our Stacey. June, were you going to comment?
Yeah, I was just going to be, say that, I mean, people are sort of holding up, you know, Jeremy Corbyn. I know there's been a lot of black people kind of holding him up, like he's going to, you know, do a lot more for us and stuff like that. But I find it hard to trust any of them, to be honest, because at the end of the day, it's still white supremacy. And, you know, because we are, you know, people of colour, black people in this country are such a small minority. And I just can't see it. I'll believe it when I see it, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, you know, to be fair to Jeremy Corbyn, he has actually made specific references to some of the contributions and stuff that black people have brought to the UK and stuff like that, which I've never heard any other politician talk about before. But I just feel, for me personally, I'm sceptical of all of them until I actually see it, you know, see it happen with my own eyes. I'm sceptical of it because, you know, like somebody was saying earlier, you know, this country started white supremacy. They kind of took it all over, all around the globe. So, you know, I believe it when I see it. And it's always going to be about class. That's my feeling. It's always going to be about class here, because that's all they want to see. That's all they're really interested in. And we've never really had a voice as such. And it's always the way it's been. I can't see that changing because, as I said, you know, our numbers are that small. So, you know, I suppose I'll wait and see what happens if Jeremy Corbyn does get in or whatever. But I'm sceptical of all of them because it's white supremacy. And it's just, if somebody else gets in, it's just a white supremacy shuffle. It's just a shuffle round. It's still the same bird, you know, different wings, same bird. So that's kind of, you know, my thought on that.
Absolutely. Most important thing to understand, to make sure we are not in the position of thinking that Jeremy Corbyn or any other white person, Bernie Sanders, he is going to, you know, help us get things right. This will be the white politician who is concerned about black people and will make sure that we don't have any more of these Grenfell Towers and that sort of thing. You should never be thinking that with any individual classified as white. Any other folks have commentary on the election that just went down last 10 days? Folks satisfied? Rhino, this is supposed to be our 90-minute broadcast. We a little bit over, but I did think the Grenfell Tower situation very important. And we'll be talking about this tomorrow. Esther Stanford Cossey, she will be back with us. She just did a segment on the BBC's The Big Question. Big Questions, I think it is, plural, where the question was, can white people be victims of racism? And that was another all-star tribute to the cows. They had Dr. William Les Henry on. He's been a guest on the program repeatedly. Esther Stanford Cossey, she's been on with us repeatedly. She'll be back tomorrow. But they did a brilliant job dissecting why that is a total sham, that, of course, white people are not victims of racism. They did a great job. I certainly wanted to address that with her. We'll make time for that. But we'll be talking about the Grenfell Tower situation with her tomorrow. The election, always grand to have her on the program. She shared a lot of great information with us over the years. Same broadcast time, 8 p.m. Eastern. Excuse me. Not the normal broadcast time. It's the same time as our broadcast today, which 3 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Central, 12 noon Pacific. And I think even our UK guests could listen live to that when it would be 8 p.m. London time. But always grand to hear from Esther Stanford Kose. Any final comments folks wanted to get in before we wrap things up? Any of our listeners in the UK, retired firefighter? Oh, did have a caller. Caller at 7720, 7720. Did you have a question, comment you wanted to get in?
Good evening, callers. Everybody from the UK, Gus is the voice from 305 Florida. I just wanted to just piggyback on what you were saying about as far as when you look at Corbyn, when you look at any of these white leaders that get into office, they always say the right things until you come at them with a plan. Just like you have mentioned with a while ago. I just lost train of thought. Bernie. Bernie was saying all the good things that black people wanted to hear until we came to reparations. Then he says, hold up, reparations is divisive. I'm not going to get into that. So it's like when you get down to changing and making a real change, then it's hold up. I have to look at it. I have to switch up my game plan, and we'll deal with that later. So that's what I just wanted to say. And I appreciate everybody that called from London because we really need that connect between here and there. And I appreciate all the feedback. So I know I got in late, but I appreciate y'all. Thanks.
Thank you for dialing in, sir. Appreciate it. Any other folks have comment, question they want to get in before we conclude?
Yeah, just very quickly, Gus. There's going to be a reparations march going on in London. And I think it's, unless one of the other people on the show can give the exact date, I think it's at the end of the month. That's number one. Also, I want to say that this is the only show that I know about that connects you guys with us guys over in Europe as well. So it's really quite a vital show, especially when things like this happen, you know, because it helps a real picture to go out to other non-white people on planet Earth, and then it's documented forever on the internet. So it's very important. I just want to just say that.
Well said, well said. Anybody else commentary they want to make sure they get in?
Yeah, March for Reparations for London, man. That should be everywhere where people speak English. All black people around the world should be marching the same time, the same day to get some reparations from them for all the chaos they have caused. I just wanted to go back to the question earlier and say, you know, according to the statistics, firefighter has it pretty good down there in Miami, whereas black wealth, whites only have 30 times more wealth than black people. So if you're in Los Angeles, it's 89 times more wealth, which means every $1 they have 89. So any white people living close enough to die in a fire caused by a black person, they deserve to die. Because it's no logical reason why it should even be there at all. I'm doing my line. Thank you, Gus.
Woo! Man, oh man. Cal's listeners. I forgot to say Esther Stanford Kose. She will probably, if she's not going to be at that reparations march, she'll probably have the details tomorrow. I'll make a note to myself to ask her about that, but she'll probably be able to give the date and time because I think she had emailed me about that exactly. I'll just have to look at my notes again to double check, but Esther Stanford Kose, she'll be here tomorrow. Anything else?
I think it's the 1st of, sorry, yeah. I think it's the 1st of August starting at Windrush Square, Brixton. Yeah.
1st of August, right on. Was someone else spoke up, I heard?
Yeah, no, it was June. I was just going to say the date as well. I just found it on my phone, so I was just going to say the date, but it's fine. You all know the date now, so it's fine.
Appreciate the diligence. Everyone satisfied? Any final comments? Everyone satisfied?
As always, be extra safe out there.
Appreciate that, Mary. You as well. Lorraine, if you're listening, be safe as well. Thanks for video footage and commentary in the week. Hopefully you'll be able to join us next time. She was working diligently today and just didn't have the extra time to be able to come and speak with us directly. But hopefully next month when we do it again, she'll be here. Next month, it's the Global Sunday Talk on Racism is every third Sunday. So for July, that would be July 16th. July 16th will be here next month. That's it. Thanks, everyone, for participating. Wherever you happen to be on the planet, we will be here tomorrow, 24 hours from now. Esther Stanford Cosay on the context of white supremacy. Did the UK folks, did you all see her segment on the big questions? I know I emailed. Mr. Fox helped me find it on YouTube. I was too incompetent to even locate it. I didn't even need any help. I could have just went to YouTube and got it, but he did put it in my hands. Did you all see her segment on the big questions where they asked if white people could be victims of racism? Did you all see that?
Yeah, I saw it. Yeah, it's brilliant. Very good. Very good indeed. Yeah, it's excellent.
I had lots of applause. She and Dr. William Les Henry, they were both outstanding. It's definitely worth a visit if you didn't check it out. Either way, in the UK or people in the States, great study in racism, white supremacy, just the way that they matter some of the exact same things, them trying to push to class instead of race. You'll see it in that whole thing. It's about 20 minutes. It's not super long if you want to check it out. It's called the name of the show, The Big Questions, and the segment where the question specifically was, can white people be victims of racism? And you can see our guest for tomorrow, Esther Stanford Cosay. With that, if you have comments, guest suggestions, if you have trouble finding something in the archives, if you want to find that broadcast with Menelik Shabazz, where we talked about the New Cross Fire and his documentary work, let me know, or any other programs, let me know. Email is untiljustice@gmail.com. UntilJustice@gmail.com. But thanks, everyone, for tuning into the broadcast. I will again encourage sobriety would be best under conditions of white supremacy. Man, if you can imagine all of the horrors of this event at Grenfell, now do you think your situation is going to be better if you've had a six-pack, you've had a few brews? Do you think that's going to have you in a position where you're more alert if you need to get up to save your life in the next 5 minutes? You're going to be in a better position intoxicated. I don't think so. Sobriety absolutely would be best. I think Dr. Welsing, Mr. Fuller, Dr. Kanbaugh, many of the folks that we hold in high regard, I think they would encourage, I suspect even Esther Stanford Cosay, we'll ask her tomorrow. I think they would encourage, hey, let's make sure our brain computer is functioning at maximum efficiency so that we can make the best decisions. Is so much confusion, so much deception. We have so many problems to address. We need every ounce of intelligence. We do not have any to spare just so that we can quote unquote feel good. That's it. Creator, we ask that you help us remain patient with other black people, victims of white supremacy. We ask that you help us remain patient with ourselves. Remind us to demonstrate the highest levels of black self-respect at all times, in all places, each and every time we are in contact with another black person. It has been time. Replace white supremacy with justice immediately. Cow signing out. Thanks all for tuning in.
Nigga, you so brainwashed.
I'm a victim, your brother.
Problem. You're a victim.
Shut I'm a up. Victim of 400 years of conditioning.
Shut up.
The man has programmed my conditioning. Mm-hmm. Even my conditioning has been conditioned.